I've been here for some time, haven't I, Johnny?
A while, said Johnny. She thought about it. Then she stiffened.
I've had Lapsin. It's incurable.
She let out a wail. It's cured, said Johnny. She thought about it. Then another upset took her.
But why didn't they vaporize me, the Tatrists?
I think you'll get well, said Johnny. In fact, I think you'll be healthier than before. She thought she understood.
You're sitting there so they won't come in and vaporize me. Johnny, that's brave, and I should thank you, but you can't stop the Catrists. They're the law. They're beyond the law. They can do anything they please, even to the Emperor. Johnny, you better get out of here before they come.
Johnny looked at her for a while. What a world of terror and cruelty these Cyclos had lived in. He said, I'm sitting here to tell you the news, Chirk. I fired the Catrists. Well, it was true, wasn't it? Even if he didn't really know what a Catrist was, if they'd been on Cyclo, they were fired. Radioactively. Chirk sat up higher, shedding the dullness.
Oh, Johnny, that was awfully nice of you.
She swung her legs to get off the bed.
Where are my clothes? I better get to work or I'll have another black mark on my record.
She tried to stand. I'd take it easy, said Johnny. Then an inspiration. It's your day off. She sank down on the bed, shaking with weakness and evidently dizzy.
Oh, that's lucky. Will it be all right if I come in tomorrow?
Johnny assured her that it was. He went out and found the two females, and perhaps because of his reassociation with Care, he told them he had an order that exempted Chirk from being vaporized, and that if they harmed her, he'd dock their pay and put black marks all over their records, and they better go get her some goo food and chew root and help her take a bath. They did not misunderstand him. Whatever else, he said, he had a palm resting on his belt blast gun. They understood that. Chapter 32. The Last Chapter. 1. With all the weight hanging on the outcome of this project, Johnny was in no frame of mind to be told that it would be 3 days before they could be sure they had succeeded with Chirk. McKendrick said there were dangers of infection, of relapse. He had to observe the reactions before he could proceed. In vain, Johnny told him that unless they solved cyclomath, he might find himself back in a conference room with very angry emissaries whose economies had remained stagnant, that he might be pushed into a new demonstration of force. McKendrick said it wouldn't help to rush it. And Chirk did not instantly rebound. On the second day, she was still in bed, too weak and dizzy to get up. It made Johnny wonder whether the removal would disturb their sense of balance, even their ability to think. Other things occurred. Pierre Solon had vanished, and it took Johnny hours to find that he had been seen boarding a plane that had come through, sky-hiking his way back to Europe. Patty seemed to have undergone a change. Johnny was sitting in the old library, impatiently thumbing through books, when he became aware of Patty. She obviously had something to say. He sat quietly, giving her his attention.
"Johnny, please tell me the truth. Did Biddy live very long?"
It startled Johnny, hurled him back to that fatal day. A wave of grief choked him. He could only nod faintly.
"Then he could have been saved,"
said Patty, not accusing, just stating a fact. Johnny looked at her. He couldn't talk. Dear God, no. The boy was blasted half in two. His spine was shattered. Nothing could have saved Biddy. Nothing. But he couldn't say that to her.
"Johnny, if I had known how to be a doctor, and if I had been there, he wouldn't have died."
She said it as fact, conviction. He waited. He couldn't talk.
"When the doctors leave here, I want to go with them," said Patty. "I will be very good. I will not bother them. I will go to a school and study real hard, and I will learn everything I have to know to be a doctor. Will you help me, Johnny?"
He couldn't talk. He put his arms around her. After a while, he was able to say, "Of course I will, Patty. You can stay with Aunt Ellen. I will speak to McKendrick. I will see you have all the money you need. She stepped back, her eyes bright with determination. With dignity, she said,
"Thank you,"
and went away. After a little, he felt a sense of relief for her. He had thought she would never recover, but she had. There was a direction for her to go, and she had found a path to travel on, a path that led out of despair and back to the world of the living. On the following day, he had been down in the electrical shop, organizing equipment and needing a reference on molecular gun current values. He raced up to the library to get it. And there was Chirk. She was sitting at a desk, surrounded with books.
"Johnny," she said a little severely, "you let this place get in an awful mess. You must learn to put things back when you pull them off the shelves."
He looked at her. Inside her breathe mask, her jaws were chomping away on chew root. Her amber eyes seemed totally clear. She had already put on a bit of weight.
"The company is very strict about orderly libraries," she said. "You must remember that."
She went back to getting volumes in order. Her coordination seemed very exact as she stacked things with sure paw motions. The resulting piles were very even. Not even a tremble. He was about to go tearing off to spread the news.
"Johnny," said Chirk pensively, "I've been thinking about mathematics. If you still need me to help you, I'll try to learn to add and subtract and all that sort of thing. But Johnny,"
and she fixed him with a very questioning stare,
"truthfully, why should any intelligent person want to do mathematics? I mean, what use are they, Johnny?"
3 minutes later, an excited Johnny was telling McKendrick they could roll. 2. They had taken time and worked it all out. There was always a risk in handling cyclos, even in just being around them. One rake of a paw's claws could tear one's face off. McKendrick had actually started on Chirk because there was less danger of it. The worker he had tested earlier had been a risk. The cyclo had surged up when half anesthetized, and had it not been for straps, somebody would have gotten hurt. So putting a cyclo under and operating when that cyclo was apprehensive, believing perhaps he was about to be killed, was a thing to be avoided. The younger doctor had been trained, as many general practitioners were, in rudimentary dentistry. He examined a couple of skulls, studying the fangs and back teeth. They were caked with a coating from goo food, which seemed to turn black in time. There were a couple of cavities evident. Johnny got him some silver and mercury so the doctor could make an amalgam for filling. He also fashioned a breathe mask for them which used the nose bones and made some plugs which could block the mouth air passages and force the cyclo to breathe only through the nose. He also found some small drills. The plan was to tell all the cyclos that it was a new regulation that they have their teeth repaired and polished. They said it could be painful, so it was being done under an anesthetic. The cyclos, as a group, when being briefed, were a little dubious, mostly because the company had never had any concern for employee health. But new place, new ways. The team set it up as an assembly line. The cyclo would be brought in, put under, and have the capsule or capsules removed, and then would be pushed down to another table where the younger doctor, taking advantage of the anesthesia, would fix and polish up the fangs and back teeth. In this way, after the first one, each cyclo entering would see another cyclo lying there, unconscious, getting his teeth fixed on another table. The metal analyzer on the first table was explained as necessary to find cavities. They rolled up their sleeves and began to roll. The assembly line went off without a hitch. A cyclo would come in and get the metal removed from his brain, be shunted over to get his teeth fixed, and then be wheeled back on a mine cart to the cyclo area of the compound to recover. It took 144 working hours, 12 days, to get the whole lot through. The early ones were all up and about before the last one was finished. They had had a lot of cavities, even some minor extractions. But their gleaming fangs, My, were they impressed. Walking about, whenever they passed a reflective surface, they could be seen holding their breath, lifting their breathe masks, and inspecting anew their beautiful new smiles. A cyclo admiring beauty was a major change in itself. They did not become more polite, but they became more pleasant and agreeable. Care couldn't stand the others getting all this without himself getting into the scene. He didn't even know he didn't have any capsules, but he did know his fangs weren't shiny bright. So they had to pull him in, put him under, and polish his teeth. And that finished the lot. The medical team took the cricks out of their backs and began to pack up.
"It's all over to you now, Johnny," said McKendrick. "Be careful, as we have no guarantee they won't retain some residual behavior pattern based on tradition and education. I hope you finally solve their math."
And the team went back to Aberdeen. Johnny was on his own.